2540th edition of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Cut. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 states. Head on over to Cut.com, that's K-U-T-T.com, and use promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. We're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100 times your entry in NBA, MLB, NHL, college basketball, and more. Sign up today using promo code MMASGPN to get a 100% deposit match. And we're also brought to you by the premier arbitrage sports betting tool, AVO. Use their tool to bet both sides and lock in a profit. Access their platform for free at arbsversusodds.com. That's arbsvsodds.com. And finally, in honor of Masters Week, the Golf Gambling Podcast guys are giving away a TaylorMade SpiderX putter for free. Enter today at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/masters.
Hi-ho, Degenerinos. Welcome to episode 540 of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. This episode is going out to a friend on Twitter, X, Cully Cat, who has reached out to my co-host and gave him a good idea for a segment that we're going to start doing on a regional episode. So this goes out to Cully Cat. Thank you for coming to the show. This is one of your hosts, Jeff Chalks Fox, even though I wasn't very chalky this past weekend. I may have to ditch that nickname. We are bringing you a PFL breakdown. PFL 2 is going down this week. And boy, was PFL 1 fun. Everyone in the Discord sure had a fun time watching that event. So we got PFL 2 going down on Friday, actually, this week. It was better when it was Thursday. Sucks that it's Friday. PFL just can't do anything right. They always have to change dates on us. Anyhow, it's Friday coming up. We're going to break down the top five fights that we like on this card. And then at the end, we shall give you picks for a bunch of others. So stick around to the very, very end. Thanks to Cully Cat. Let's bring in the regional MMA god who transitioned to an MMA god, a UFC god last weekend as well. It's Daniel Gumby-Vreeland. Hello.
Yeah, I actually took a step back on the regional ones too. I think I was down a couple of units. And also just like a weird amount of the fights that we covered last week got canceled.
It was very annoying.
Yeah. I wound up some
regional always does that to us. I wish they would have some respect for our show.
Yeah. Wound up losing a couple of those. So some of my favorite spots wound up getting blown up and I didn't wind up getting in on them, but yeah. Shout out to Cully Cat, who suggested on Twitter, we do like a little lightning round at some point in time of the episode to give you maybe not picks for every single fight, because I know while some people are clamoring in the comments for picks on every single fight, giving you 200 picks a week is probably not terribly feasible. And at some point in time, there's like a law of diminishing returns, right? You want me to give you the picks that I actually feel pretty good about. So we're going to break down five fights for you this time. And then I scoured the card for other potential spots that are kind of interesting, or I have a lean one way or the other. And I'll hit you with like, you know, two, three or four, depending on the style of the card at the end of the show. So make sure you tune in, listen all the way to the end.
Yeah, maybe this is just a plan for people to make your numbers look worse by making you make picks on every fight.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know if I'm going to – maybe we'll keep a separate record of the lightning round picks and see how the lightning round picks look against the overall total. And then if I'm doing really well on them, yeah, we can just factor that shit right in.
Yeah, exactly. Gumby's protective, but only protective if the picks go awry. So, all right, before we move on, we're giving away stuff, SGPN crew. In honor of Masters Week, the Golf Gambling Podcast guys are giving away a TaylorMade SpiderX putter. You can see it right there if you're watching us on YouTube. Thank you if you are. Here's what you got to do. You can enter for free at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/masters. And attention, people in the San Diego area. Sean and Ryan, the bosses, are going to a special Circa Sports watch party starting Tuesday afternoon at 4 p.m. at Swing Social. Free drinks for anyone wearing Cubs or Padres gear. Grab a cocktail and say what's up to our bosses. Tell them how great Gumby and Jeff are doing and how this is the best show on the network. And you won't even be lying if you say all that stuff, right?
Nothing. I don't think that's not a lie.
Nothing but the truth. All right. PFL 1. I dipped in and out of it. I was in the Discord. People were not having fun with that card. Did you watch it?
I was having fun with it, especially Daniel James knocking out Marcelo Gomes. I enjoyed that immensely. While that wasn't one of my official picks, they wound up having to switch out Tyrell Fortune for Marcelo Gome. And I was in on Tyrell Fortune. I thought his, like, I think he was like negative 145 against Daniel James. And then they subbed in Marcelo Gome because, you know, something happened to Fortune. He got sick or whatever. And some reason Marcelo Gome was a larger favorite in the fight, despite having also lost to Daniel James at some point in time in his career. I was like, this is wild. Daniel James wound up being like plus 170 and getting a first round knockout win. So, I like that one. The rest of them, yeah, I mean, it was a card filled with heavyweights. The women's flyweight fights were good. I liked all the ones I watched. You know, Liz Carmouche looked really good again, as she seemingly does every single time she fights, at least since she's left the UFC. Yeah, I don't think it was a bad card. PFL in general brings kind of interesting stuff now, especially since they've folded in the Bellator roster and made it a little bit more fun.
Yeah, what do you think of the Golden Girl, the It Girl, Dakota Dicheva?
Yeah, I'm still not sold on her. Okay, they gave her a layup first fight. Like, yeah. I think I saw somebody on Twitter, and sorry for not giving credit to the person who may have come up with this. They need to do like a Champions League drawing style of the fights for PFL, because like it is so obvious what they're doing most of the times here. And like, one year they made two best friends fight and then DQ'd the best friends for not fighting harder against each other. And it was like, you didn't have to do this. You didn't have to match these guys up. And like, pretending that this is random is clearly false, because how did Dicheva get the easiest? I mean, she fought people who were easier than the alternates that were in this, you know, like that. That's, it's clear they want her to win. And I don't think she gets by. She doesn't get by Talia Santos. She doesn't get by Liz Carmouche. So like,
no, she's not experienced enough yet.
Yeah. Match her up with them now so that we know, and you're not still hyping her up with come playoff time.
You have to do like a random drawing and show people the random draw, or they have to like do a ranking thing, which I guess they could jigger it around, but at least it's more transparent.
Yeah, at least then you would know, like, oh, this is what they're claiming.
Yeah.
Instead, they're just like they're not claiming anything. They're not telling you. They're not even saying it's random. You just know what they're doing based on the fights you see.
I still like the idea of the whole thing because it's something different than just your regular MMA. And I like how the Bellator fighters are being kind of folded into it too, especially this week. It seems that there's some interesting, it's not just
good ones this week.
It's not just Bellator versus Bellator. Like last week, they did a lot of fights.
There were two rematches last week.
Yeah, I know. Guess like what? That's what I'm talking about.
The same person won.
Which is the way it seems to go. I think it's mostly the pacing too, that everyone, and pacing is the number one complaint in our Discord of any MMA event. So if anyone who runs MMA events are listening, pacing is our number one pet peeve.
That's why I love LFA.
Yeah. LFA is super fast. The worst for pacing. They are horrible for pacing, right?
It's no, LFA is super fast.
Oh no. Yeah. LFA. Sorry. PFL is
worse. The LFA, the other guy's not out of the cage yet. And they're introducing next. And you're like, hell yeah. Get him out of here.
PFL is the worst for pacing. So yeah. We talked for 8 minutes. We haven't given out picks yet. We're going to be getting some heat now, Gumby. My God. Hurry. Give a pick out. Hurry. Who's going to win a fight? PFL 2 is what we're talking about here. The toughest test in MMA just got tougher is what the tagline is. This is going down on Friday. Like I said, that's another thing. They got to pick a day and stick with it. Right. I'm sure it's probably not their call. It's like wherever they're being broadcast.
Yeah. ESPNs.
So this one's Friday, 6:30 PM Eastern. It's not Saturday. So that's a good thing. It's on ESPN2 and ESPN+ for the prelims. Is going down the theater at Virgin Hotels, Las Vegas, Nevada. So they're invading the UFC's turf for this event. 11 fights. Like I said, we're going to give you full breakdowns of five of them. And then Gumby's going to rapidly rip through the fights that we didn't cover and let you know his thoughts on them. It's either like when we don't cover fights, it's either usually it's the odds are going to be too lopsided, right? And it's pointless. Breaking it down.
Yeah, I mean, usually the reason, first of all, we only have so much time to cover so many fights, and also some of the times, I mean, right now we're just doing the tops of cards. We're making sure we hit the big fights, the ones that are going to be televised and stuff like that. But yeah, sometimes we skip fights that are going to be a little bit too wide for our own good. Yeah. You know, maybe we'll just skip Bo Nickel versus Cody Brennan come Thursday.
Yeah, we should. UFC, we cover everyone, but yeah. All right, we are starting with a main card fight: Sadabu Sai from Sweden versus Josh Silveira from USA. Three five-minute rounds. This is part of the light heavyweight tournament. Silveira, Konina is the nickname, Little Conan, because his dad is Big Conan. Conan Silveira. This little Silveira, not that little, he is light heavyweight. He's 12-2, five knockouts, six submissions. We finished everyone except one. He himself has never been finished in any fight. 5-2 in PFL, 3-1 over his last four. He did lose his last fight. That was in the championship, was it not? I believe.
Yeah, he lost, right? he lost to Amba Kasangane. Yeah.
Yes. He's 6 years younger than Sai, plus 126. Yes, we do have odds. Early odds have opened for PFL. Sadabu Sai, famously, he's the Swedish Denzel Washington. It's got to be a rib, right? Because he does not look like him at all.
I'm not
saying he's ugly or anything, but he doesn't look like Denzel Washington.
I don't know how we got it.
Yeah. He's from Sweden. We'll give him that much. Handsome guy, so maybe that's why. Sadabu Sai, 16-7-2 with one no contest, eight knockouts. So he's knocked out half of his wins. He's been knocked out twice, submitted twice, 10-5-2 with one no contest in the PFL. He's a 2022 champion of the PFL. So he got $1 million then. 7-1 over his last eight. He did get submitted in his last fight. He used to fight at light heavyweight. He used to fight at welterweight and middleweight. 2013 pro MMA debut. He's a multi-time world champion in Muay Thai and kickboxing. 2 inches of height, 5 inches of reach over Silveira, minus 150. So kind of a close one to kick things off for us.
Yeah, and I'm going to go underdog. I'm going to take Josh Silveira. I think I don't like Sadabu Sai going up to light heavyweight. I think that's a terrible move. I mean,
that's
like
a big jump from welterweight to light heavyweight. He's making the direct jump from welterweight to light heavyweight.
And he had stops in middleweight over the years. But actually, if you go back and you look at his record, that's where some of his biggest hiccups were. Moving up in weight class to middleweight. And part of the reason for me is if you watch Sadabu Sai, I don't think he's somebody who like is a weight bully, right? Like he's not somebody who like gets into the clinch and leans on you and is way bigger than you and like wears down you. He's not that guy because, as you said, he's a Muay Thai fighter. He fights from range. But when you try to crowd him or you try to take him down or you try to make it a wrestling match, he has that size to fall back on. It's almost like he no longer has to worry about being taken down or being, you know, sort of bullied when he's at welterweight because he's so much bigger than all of the people he's fighting. I think when you take that away from his game, I think it takes a huge chunk of scariness from his striking away because now he has to be defending that, especially against a guy like Josh Silveira, because he's a guy who has a really good submission game. When he does hit you with strikes, he hits really hard. So I think all those things are dangerous. And if he's not then more protective on the takedowns, I think that could, first of all, it's going to make his striking weaker if he is. And second of all, I think he could get taken down if he's as sort of blasé as he is against it. Because like, if you watch some of his more recent fights, people get in on his legs, but then like, I mean, he's so damn tall, like his extra leg on a single just finds the ground no matter what. And, you know, he's a lot bigger and he can sort of muscle those positions. Also, from the striking standpoint, I think he relies pretty heavily on being longer. He's not doing like tall guy defense, you know, where he just like leans out of the way. But I think a lot of his offensive striking relies on being like a much taller guy and having the confidence to throw without thinking the other guy is in range. And he's still taller and he's still longer than Silveira here. But I think that difference between a lot of the welterweights he's fighting in Silveira here is not enough. So I like the dog money here on Silveria. I think he has a lot of things that could cause Sadabu Sai issues at light heavyweight for his first move up here.
Yeah, excellent pick. I like Silveria as a fighter as well. So wouldn't mind seeing him going on a run here. All right, before we run off to more fights, Cut. Got to tell you about Cut. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 states. Peer-to-peer social betting is a new and better way to bet. You can bet directly against your friends or other users on sports, politics, pop culture, and other events with verifiable outcomes. And they have tons of fun social features that give it the feel of a betting social network. Cut offers lower VIG and fully customizable odds. Create your own bets. Cut handles the payment side of things, so you never have to chase down anyone for money. Social features include group chats, betting leaderboards, head-to-head history, user profiles, fan groups, and more. And the rewards are you get your cash back every single time you bet against your friends or other users. Get on Cut. Check out the SGPN custom bets we have up there now. Download Cut today in the App Store or over at cut.com. That's K-U-T-T.com. And use promo code SGPN for 10% deposit bonus. Unlock Fantasy is the easiest way and easiest place to play fantasy sports. It's also the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Pick between two and five players. Pick higher or lower on whatever stat totals you want. You can win 100 times your money in one night. Boom. Simple as that. Check out Gumby and my Gumby and I do NBA underdog articles every day on sportsgamblingpodcast.com. So you can check out that if you want some guidance at all and what to pick. Sign up today with promo code MMASGPN and get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick 'em special. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the app store. And don't forget to register with our promo code MMASGPN to get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant pick 'em special. You must be 18 or older and present in the state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-522-4700 or visit ncpgambling.org. Okay. What are we moving to now? We're moving to a Canadian. It would be a main card lightweight tournament fight. Mads Brunel from one of those countries over there in Denmark. Denmark is where he's from, versus Michael Dufort from Canada. Dufort is the Canadian badass that tips you off that he's Canadian. If his accent doesn't tip you off already. He's 12-4, two knockouts, nine submissions, never been finished in a fight. 1-0 in PFL. He's won four straight fights and 6 of 7. Two straight have come via submission, two straight wins. He's not lost since November 2021. Was regional champion, used to fight at welterweight and featherweight. Now he's right in the middle. 2012 pro MMA debut, plus 225 for him in his tournament debut. Mads Brunel, 18-5, one knockout, nine submissions. He's been knocked out once, submitted twice. This is his PFL debut. He's won two straight fights before that. He lost two straight. Before that, he won seven straight. So 2-0, 2-2, 9-2. He went 5-2 in Bellator. He was the Cage Warriors champion. He used to fight at featherweight, just like Dufort. He went 1-2 in the UFC. Was a regional champion, a 2013 pro MMA debut. He also was a BJJ champion, minus 275. No respect for the Canadian.
Yeah, I'm going to go dog again.
All right.
I like Michael Dufort here for a couple of reasons. Number one, you know, I just mentioned with Sadibou Sy, I don't like that he's moving up in weight class. And Brunel has been fighting most of his fights at featherweight recently. So this is another one where we're going up in weight class. I think some people do it just because of the slog of the PFL season. It's kind of tough on their bodies, and it's just easier to not have to cut weight all the time. But Michael Dufort is a pretty damn tough wrestler. This is, you know, Olivier Aubin-Mercier backed out, you know, he officially retired from MMA after winning two PFL seasons in a row. And they basically took his training partner and a guy who fights very similar to him and plugged him into his spot in the roster. And Dufort, I think, you know, he's a little sloppier with the strikes. I'm going to give it, you know, that straight up. He is not as fine tuned on the feet as Olivier Aubin-Mercier with that. But in terms of his like diligence in the way that he grapples, I think he's a lot like Olivier Aubin-Mercier in that way. You know, he's not hiding that he's trying to shoot takedowns and somehow people still don't stop him. You know, he's coming off of back-to-back submission wins you mentioned. They're not against a low level of competition. One was Luis Violent Bob Ross Pena. The other one was tough finalist Joe Gianetti. And he submitted both of them in the first round in both of them. And he submitted Joe Gianetti in like 90 seconds or something like that. And that's like what Gianetti was good at when he was, you know, on the Ultimate Fighter moving, yeah, you know, through the regional ranks or whatever. So like he beat him at his own game and he did it in his backyard, which gives, I give him a lot of props for all that. On the Mads Brunel side, you know, like I think Brunel does a lot more things striking that I think are good in than Dufort. For instance, like he works the body really well. He's more confident in what he's throwing, but he's also kind of a plodder. Like he's not very light on his feet. He doesn't cut a ton of angles. He's sort of just kind of always been a guy who's never really been afraid to be taken down. So he doesn't feel the need to like move a lot because he's been the better wrestler in a lot of his fights. But in this one, like, I think if he just plods forward, first of all, it's going to help Dufort sort of like overcome those deficiencies he has in his grappling. And then second of all, I think he's going to be there to be taken down or at the very least put in a very uncomfortable clinch in chain wrestling situation, which I think is what Dufort's going to do here to pick up the win. So, yeah, give me Michael Dufort, especially with the odds as wide as they are here.
All right. There you go, people. Back-to-back dogs for the regional MMA god Gumby Vreeland. All right, we're sticking with lightweights. Another high profile fight here. Clay Collard, USA. Patrick Freire from Brazil. Freire, aka Pitbull, is 25-12, 17 knockouts, one submission. He's been knocked out three times, submitted once. This is his debut in the PFL. He's got win over his last four. He went 16-10 in Bellator and was their lightweight champion at one point. 2005 pro MMA debut. He's at plus 150. Cassius Clay Collard, 24-12 with one no contest, 11 knockouts, 3 submissions. He's been knocked out once, submitted 4 times. He's taking this fight on short notice. He has gone 6-4 in PFL. However, he's lost 2 straight. However, he won 3 straight before that. Lost his last fight via submission. Multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Finally get to say that. Check out our store, sportsgamingpodcast.com/store. Grab the shirts. Get sticky with it, y'all. What else can I tell you about this gentleman? I used to fight down at featherweight, up at welterweight, 1-3 in the UFC. He has failed a drug test in the past. He wasn't part of the PFL drug test failures, but he did fail one.
That's
years
the next
ago.
Fight.
Yes, that's coming up. Color 2011 pro MMA debut. So a couple of old heads going out of here. 9-6-3 as a pro boxer. 7 years younger than Freire. 5 inches taller, 4 inches of reach over him. So younger and bigger, -188.
Yeah, I'm going to take Clay Collard in this one. I'm finally on the favorite side of things. Pitbull, I really think these odds are only as close as they are because Pitbull has got that Pitbull name. He's won twice in the last 5 years. Twice in the last 5 years. And if you look at the opponents, you can see how he beat him. It's Peter Qualley and Kleber Souza. And like both of those guys, grapplers. Both of those guys are people who need takedowns and need top control. And he just like, you know, shucked the control and forced them to box and beat him. And like, you know, I'm not saying those aren't good wins, but winning a Bellator title over Peter Qualley is not one that I'm going to be like, oh, you know, former Bellator champ, you know, props. You know, like that's not a guy who should have been in the title fight at that point in time. And to be fair, Qualley beat him once too before, if you want to reel it back even further. So yeah, like we're talking about a guy who's pretty much only just outboxing grapplers at this stage in his career versus a guy who is an exceptionally good boxer in Clay Collard. Like this is a guy who left the UFC and got much, much better at boxing, somewhat by, hey, get this, boxing, but also somewhat by just like, he's faster and confident, more confident with his hands than he's ever been. Like, I think when he was in the UFC, I think he tried to mix things up a little bit too much from time to time. And now he just knows, like, I am really good at boxing. I am going to outbox all of these people. And I think if you put him toe-to-toe in a boxing match with Pitbull here, I think he's going to be the better and certainly the faster boxer. So I think -188 is probably a steal. And then when you add in on top of that too, like I do think it even if he was having trouble here, he might be able to take Pitbull down. So yeah, give me Collard all day here.
All right, there you go. Before we move on, I got to tell you about AVO, some new friends sponsoring us. We're proud to partner up with AVO. They are the premier sports betting arbitrage tool. If you're new to arbitrage sports betting, it's very simple. Basically betting both sides of a bet at two different sportsbooks to lock in a profit. The AVO tool scans the sportsbooks looking for discrepancies in the odds and then tells you how much money you need to place with each sportsbook and the expected profit. The tool is super easy to use and lightning fast as speed is a big part of arbitrage sports betting. The best part is AVO is currently free to use without restrictions. That's right, completely free. Get started today at arbsversusodds.com. That's arbsvsodds.com. Check it out. Make some dough. All right, co-main event time. Rob Wilkinson, this is light heavyweight. Rob Wilkinson, Tom Breeze. So Australia versus the United Kingdom or England. They're two different things. People are getting very angry at me right now. He's listed as United Kingdom, but he fights out of England. So there you go. Okay, 3 5-minute rounds. 205. Breeze, 18-4, 5 knockouts, 12 submissions. Wait a minute. Is Breeze is taking this on short notice, right? I think I said Collard was taking a fight on short notice, but I believe it's yes. Okay, I was incorrect. Collard is not taking a fight on short notice. Breeze is the gentleman stepping in on short notice to fight Rob Wilkinson. All right. Breeze, 18-4, 5 knockouts, 12 submissions. He's been knocked out twice, submitted once, 1-0 in PFL. He's won 3 straight fights in 6 of his last 7. All of his wins have come via submission in that streak. He's got multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get the shirt, sportsgamingpodcast.com/store. Used to fight at welterweight and middleweight, 5-3 in the UFC, 2010 pro MMA debut, +150. Wilkinson, Razor Rob Wilkinson, 17-2 with 1 no contest, 9 knockouts, 7 submissions. He's been knocked out twice, 4-0 with 1 no contest in the PFL, and he was the 2022 champion. He was not the champion last year because he got suspended for a failed drug test. Him and basically half of the roster. He's got 6-0 with 1 no contest over his last 7. The no contest would have been the failed drug test fight, which he originally had won. He's not lost a fight since February 2018. He's got multiple championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get the shirt. sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. Used to fight at middleweight, 0-2 in the UFC, 2011 pro MMA debut, 1-0 boxing, 2-0 kickboxing, 3 inches reach over Breeze, -175.
I'm going Wilkinson, and I can't believe this price is where it is. Don't get me wrong. The failed drug test and the layoff obviously worries me. But here's the thing about Tom Breeze. I love Tom Breeze. I love his fighting style. I loved when he came to the UFC. I love a lot of his fights in the UFC. But he said that he's had trouble in his career with confidence and with believing in himself. And there's been times where he didn't walk out despite being backstage and completely prepared because he continuously doubted himself. And, you know, it's like he's gone through those struggles. What is he going to do when he shoots a takedown in this fight and Rob Wilkinson stuffs it? Because the thing is, Rob Wilkinson can stuff a takedown. And he's infinitely better of a boxer than Tom Breeze, and he hits way harder. So if he gets stuffed on that first takedown, is he just going to quit? I feel bad saying that because I know that he's like struggled with those things and he's been candid about those things. And like, you know, it's great that fighters are willing to talk about those things, but I can't overlook it as somebody who's trying to pick a winner here and seeing Rob Wilkinson, the former champion of this division, who tore through everybody with, you know, devastating boxing, up against the guy with a huge boxing deficiency and seemingly an issue with self-confidence in terms of how this fight will go. So like, I think if he whiffs on a takedown or two, I think we're going to see Wilkinson punish him real hard. And you might even see that beforehand. So yeah, I think the play here is Wilkinson. I can't believe this line is as close as it is.
Oh, there you go. He's not giving you a dog, but he's giving you value, which is just as good as long as it hits. So he's going with the cheater, Razor Rob Wilkinson. Hopefully he hasn't, that was the only drug test he failed. So hopefully he's back on the straight and narrow now. And looking like the way he always has since Gumby picked him. All right, main event time. Impa Kasangane versus Alex Polizzi, U.S. versus U.S. And this is at light heavyweight as well. Polizzi, easy with the Z, just like easy. Easy Polizzi is 10-3, 3 knockouts, 5 submissions. He's been knocked out once. This is his debut in PFL. He's gone 0-2 over his last two, 3-2 over his last 5. He went 4-3 in Bellator. Was LFA champion, inch height over Kasangane +440. I take it he's the bottom seed in this tournament because he's going up against number one seed, Impa Kasangane. How do you say his name again?
Shilobo.
He's 15-4. 3 knockouts, 4 submissions. He's been knocked out twice. 5-1 PFL. I say he's the number one seed because he is the 2023 champion of the PFL. He's won 6 of his last 7 fights. He did lose his last fight in a PFL versus Bellator super, quote unquote, air quote, super fight card. Used to fight at middleweight and welterweight, has missed weight at welterweight. 2-2 in the UFC, 2-0 in contender series, 3 years younger than Polizzi, 3 inches of reach, -549. We were talking about this off air, kind of a crazy line.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Impa Kasangane here, but I don't like that line. Don't get me wrong. I think he's going to win this fight. I would pick him over Polizzi pretty much all the time, but I don't know that I can get behind him being a 5-1 favorite here, especially because Polizzi's got like pretty sneaky submission skills. Like I want to say did he fight Jamal Pogues at one point in time? I think he heel hooked Jamal Pogues, if I'm remembering correctly. Really? Put the intern on that. So he's got like fun submission skills. So like it was Jamal Pogues. Right on.
Yep.
Right on. So yeah, like Impa Kasangane could just get caught in a submission. And that's why I don't like him at a number like -549. But I will say this, there's so many reasons to think Impa Kasangane is going to win this fight. Polizzi fought Yoel Romero into that fight. It was clear that the like physicality of the light heavyweight fight with a big, strong dude, which like Impa Kasangane is big and strong too. Like he filled out for this division quite well. It tired out Polizzi. He looked like he was just not there anymore. And when he does, he gets really hittable. And he's kind of hittable to begin with too, because he jumps in with very predictable combinations. You know, like he throws the 1-2 the way that you expect him to, or back-to-back hooks the way that you expect him to. And he like jumps into range and he doesn't get out quite fast enough. And then when he gets tired, he's even more hittable. So, like, I think Ibba is the type of guy who can take advantage of all those. I also think he could take him down all the time if he wanted to, because Ibba Kasangane's wrestling has looked better and better as time has gone. Like in that fight with Josh Silveira, which I think is now a couple years old, so maybe I shouldn't be referencing that one. But when he fought Josh Silveira, I'm just remembering, like, he was in top control on Josh Silveira, which is a crazy thing to say, because as I touted earlier in this episode, Silveira is a pretty darn good wrestler in his own right. So I think Ibba's wrestling has really come along. I think his striking is going to make Polizzi pay, and I think we're going to see the gas tank issues of Polizzi play out. So I'm going to go with Ibba, but I would not recommend to those of you out there to dump the bank account on Ibba Kasangane.
It won't be easy to beat Polizzi, right?
It won't be. It never is.
All right. It never is. All right, that's a recap, and Gummies has promised us some bonus picks. After I do this little recap for you. All right. Kasangane, Wilkinson, Collard, Nothing But Dogs the Rest of the Way, Dufort and Silveira, right?
That's right.
All right. Now this is an 11 fight card as we are recording. Gumby has given you full breakdowns for on five of them. Anything else on this card that is of interest to you that you want to include in your lightning round?
Yeah, so I wrote down four quick ones here. I won't give you really deep breakdowns on all of them, but I really like Brett Primus's line against Bruno Miranda. I saw that at -135 earlier in the week. I don't know where it's chilling at the current moment, but Brett Primus as a slight favorite over Bruno Miranda, I think his wrestling holds up there. We had Antonio Carlos Jr. over Simon Byung. He's like -240 right now, Antonio Carlos Jr. I worry about the fact that he was on like Brazilian, what's the reality TV show?
Survivor, Big Brother.
Yeah, he was on Brazilian Big Brother. And like he's not been fighting, but also like Byung just gets taken down all the time and his grappling is sick. So I like Antonio Carlos Jr. even as a big favorite, maybe parlay fuel. Adam Piccolotti over JJ Wilson is a good one for me. That one's a slight dog. I think he's kind of fun in that spot. I think he always is kind of just like a good sleeper in general. They always kind of underrate him. And then last week we had French Solomon Renfro, Morgan Cherrier on the main card.
Oh,
this week we have the real deal.
I forgot about that. Man,
We have the American Solomon Renfro on this one.
The real Solomon
Renfro. And he's +165. I think he's the worst fighter in there, but sometimes that doesn't matter because he's so explosive. So if you're looking for somewhere to like throw your last couple of bucks on, like you could do worse than Dog Bunny on Solomon Renfro. So yeah, I like Primus, Antonio Carlos Jr., Piccolotti, and Solomon Renfro is kind of like my fun leans for the prelims.
All right, there you go. You only did 9 of the 11 fights, Gumby.
All right. I hope you guys like the lightning round. We'll try to make it more fun.
We need graphics and sound effects of lightning and thunder crashing. not gunshots, though, because people don't like that.
Yeah, people got really mad when we had those.
That was on Gumby's other show that you should listen to, the Top Turtle MMA podcast. Tell the people who is on it this week. Or do you not want to tell yet?
No, I can let it go. This week, we're going to have Jim Miller, who's fighting at UFC 300 this week. And we're going to be talking to Raquel Pennington, which, by the way,
the champ,
the women's bantamweight
champ.
Have
you interviewed a champ before? A reigning champ?
Never a reigning champ. This is the first
time. Wow, congratulations.
Pretty much a champ in every single division, but never while they were holding the belt.
Yeah.
But we talked to Raquel Pennington this week, and this is a special news bulletin that you're getting only here on Monday. The video of that should be popping up on the SGPN MMA Gambling Podcast website's YouTube feed. So you can hear it if you still want to hear it on my Top Turtle MMA podcast, but you'll be able to see my interview with Raquel Pennington right here on this channel.
Good job. Thank you, Gumby, for adding adding more value to our channel, as we like to say. So very good. Make sure you listen or watch and listen. Do both. Okay. Get on my Substack, moneymma.substack.com. Get in my UFC Pick'em. If you haven't heard, UFC 300 this weekend. So of course I'm doing a Pick'em contest. And of course I am giving away prizes. So you can get in there for free at MightyMMA. That's.substack.com. Discord is the place to be. People are always in there discussing. I guess there's fights going on most days. And when there's not, then we're looking forward to Solomon Renfrew fights. That would be sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Discord. It's true. We do talk about him sometimes in there. Twitter, SGPNMMA. Jeff Fox Writer, Gumby Vreeland, Jeff Fox Writer on Instagram, sportsgamblingpodcast.com, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store, so you can look cool like us, and sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Patreon. Back tomorrow, right, Gumby? Take us out of here.
All right. I'm Danny Gubby Vreeland. He's the Canadian Denzel Washington, Jeff Fox. And we will see you on Tuesday.